Shalom. This program is about the feasts. This is Stefan Yaeber. Thank you very much here on YavanotYahweh.com. Sabbath resting and Torah. Why would we even care? Because Yahweh cares. The Sabbath is first mentioned in Genesis, which is also in Hebrew. It's called Bereshit. And we go to chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. And it is always Yahweh's rest day. I know it says L-O-R-D in the King James and most of the scripture versions, but we're going to use the Y-H-V-H, which is in the original, or in the, at least as much as we have access to an original scroll of the scriptures. Y-H-V-H, and not the W, not Y-H-W-H. With all apologies to you folks, but we've studied it out in about 30 different dictionaries, Jewish and different dictionaries, and that's on this website. The Sabbath is a scriptural feast, and that's from studying the Torah, we find that, and also in studying Hebrews chapter 4, for example, there where it says, and therefore there remaineth a rest unto the people of Yahweh. Therefore, and it specifies a specific day, the Sabbath, in Hebrews 4. But that's way too exciting. Why don't we just start at the beginning here? And here's an issue about the Sabbath in Numbers 15. 1-5 is the chapter. And then down to the 30th verse. 30 to 36, actually. About the gathering sticks issue. And they found him gathering sticks. And they brought him unto Moshe and Aharon, or Aaron, and unto all the congregation. Next verse. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what they should be done to him, or what should be done to him, sorry. 35. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, the man surely shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And finally, verse 36 of chapter 15 in Numbers. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as Yahweh commanded Moses. So, wow, that's a pretty serious thing. And, you know, Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father is the same. The Son is the same. And he doesn't change. I change not, he says. With the Father, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That's found in the book of James. I think it's in the first chapter there. I don't have time to look it up, but and then another place, is, you know, it says that you shouldn't add to the word or take away from it, and that the scripture is everlasting, it's permanent, and that his commands are permanent, unless he says they're not. So there we have the Sabbath, the issue of gathering sticks. What was the big deal? I mean, sticks? And you stone a poor old man, he's out there on the Sabbath day, trying to get warm with a few sticks. That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, you would think so. I mean, I'm not mocking it. I know the answer here. I'm playing the devil's advocate, I think. That's such a big deal to stone the old man. Well, we ask our Creator in the Protestant world, hey, come on, what's such a big deal? I wonder if gathering sticks is... No, it's not like gathering moss. No. Well, what is the Hebrew word for sticks? Look up the word sticks there on your computer or in a textbook called a concordance, Strong's Concordance. We've got one here, and it's a Hebrew word, H6086. Let's find out here. Well, I'm sure there's more to it than what my little study is. I'm just a humble little student or scholar or both, but H6086. Well, that's kind of interesting. What's it pronounced? It is pronounced ATES, A-T-E-S, or you know, whatever, from Strong's Concordance. From H6095, it means a tree, hence wood, or plural, sticks, plus carpenter, pine, P-I-N-E, plank, staff, stock, stick, stock, S-O-S-T-O-C-K. Timber, tree, wood. So anyway, this gentleman here, this poor old gentleman logging on the Sabbath, that, you know, these, that people would scoff at the silly Jews. Why did they stone him anyway for picking sticks up to just kindle a little bit of a fire? What a picky thing that was. This man wasn't gathering up a little kindling for Granny, who might have been freezing to death. Oh, yes, what a picture. Wouldn't you help? But he was logging. Let's really get on fire for him. But kindling a fire is sin, and kindling often takes a lot of effort and coaxing. Tending a fire is also work. So how much does it take to impale our Savior, Yahweh HaMashiach, afresh on the stake, on the torture tree? Only one sin. That's what it took. It was just once. Hebrews 13:8 says, Yahweh HaMashiach, the Messiah, and the King James, it says, I think it says Jesus, and the Christ word, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, he doesn't change. His standard never changes, but man changes with his weak, fickle soul and his protesting ways. Hebrews 4, as I mentioned at the beginning here, there therefore remains a keeping of the Sabbath, or a Shabbat, to the people of Yahweh. That's to the people of, in the King James, and those kind of, if you're still using the G-O-D word, to the people of G-O-D. There therefore remains a keeping of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. I hope you're fresh and your ear and your hearts are open to this. Genesis 15:26. And it says, and will give ear to his commandments. Now this is way before Moses, is before Exodus 20. But here it says in Genesis 15, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. The statutes were not given until Exodus 21, officially anyway. But here, the statutes were already there. It just wasn't written down yet for us to read. And, well, let me start from the beginning. And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. And then I will put none of these diseases. I am Yahweh that healeth. That was found in Genesis 15. And if you read further, I think it's Genesis 26, if I don't get to it later, that Abraham kept the charge, the commandments, the statutes. He kept the judgments. He was doing feast days. Ladies and gentlemen, believers and servants of Yahweh, even Abraham was keeping the Sabbath and the feast days even before the so-called Law of Moses came along. I am Yahweh that healeth. Well, thank you, Yahweh. Keep me close to you, because I'm going to stray. I'm not just only human. I am filled with Yahweh and his spirit. I am saved by his unmerited favor. Well, why are we seeing these commands prior to Exodus 20? It's because Torah, or the law, has been from everlasting to everlasting. So that, now you know, in Genesis, Cain murdered Abel. It shouldn't have been sin because there wasn't a law yet. Where there is no law, there's no sin. But it was a sin. Cain murdered Abel. He didn't just kill him, he murdered him. And if no law had been in place from the beginning, murder could not have been a sin. Oh, I don't want to get too complicated, but you know, that's a very simple concept there. And then if we go to Paul's letters to start out our belief, do we establish doctrine by his letters? Or should you run to the sources Paul or Shaul had available at the time of the 12 apostles? The resources he had available would have been the Old Testament, so-called Old Testament. So we should first understand the Torah, the basic law of Yahweh. Then when Romans 14, which you get into the Sabbath, supposedly there, and vegetarianism, when things like that in Romans 14, and so on comes to mind, we won't read our blinded Protestant theology into that scripture passage. Thank you, Yahweh. Pure doctrine cannot be understood by personal observation only. Truth is revealed when we read the word by the Spirit of Yahweh. Truth is revealed when we read the word by the Spirit of Yahweh. What about the Sabbath? Why hasn't the seventh-day Sabbath of Genesis been changed to the first day of the week? You know that, but there is no prophecy. There isn't any prophecy that foretells such a change in the commandments. The venerable day of the sun is the first day of the week. The first day of the week is not Yahweh's separated day. It's not his, you know, what they call holy. We don't use that word, but separated. It's not his separated Sabbath day. It's his separated day is the seventh day. Then we have first fruits. I'm changing subject here a little bit, but Pentecost or first fruits is counted from the wave sheaf day. Not counting the wave sheaf day, but from, it says there in the Hebrew, so it always falls on a certain day of the week. Not on Sunday, the venerable day of the sun, but it falls the day after that if you count from. I'm sorry, but, you know, the word is from the wave sheaf day, but that's a separate study. Now I've got you into this controversy here, but, well, it's a free country still where I live, and so I'm going to keep it how I believe, counting from the wave sheaf day. Whereas most people, and Messianics too, they keep it on the first day of the week. And we're not going to judge them or condemn anybody, because it wouldn't do us any good. I could condemn them from now until Yahweh comes back, and it's not going to do them any harm to speak of anyway, unless I turn it into gossip. I could pray for them anyway. And we do pray that we'll all come to the correct truths on these things. But regarding the Sabbath and the day of the week, or the date of the week that Yahweh arose from the grave, wasn't Messiah Yahawahosha risen from the dead on the first day of the week, which would have been Aviv 18, the 18th of the month of that Hebrew month? It's not necessarily a Jewish month, I guess. But in that particular year, it wasn't on the first day of the week. Well, I know that you think that you might think that the scriptures prove that there, but in that particular year that Yahweh died on a certain day of the week, he died on a certain day of the month. It was Aviv 14. Actually, the certain day of the week revolves every year to a different day, but Aviv 14. Now, come on, 14th of the month. Now that never changes. The day of the week does change, so I know I'm not clear sometimes, but that is clear. Aviv 14 is a certain date, and the day of the week doesn't matter at all. So if it was the first day, that'd be fine, but, people say he died on the pagan word Friday, and that he was resurrected actually on Aviv 17. If you've understood Matthew, Chapter 12, where the classic portion of passage of Scripture, Matthew 12:38, says 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So 3 days from Aviv 14 to Aviv 17. That's 3 days and three nights. Praise Yah. Praise Yah here on Yahweh Not Yahweh, the website, and the title for our message is The Feasts. We continue now. Part 2 here, and this is on resurrection of Yahweh HaMashiach. And if you're following along in the text, you'll find under Feast, you'll find it's about page 2, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yahweh HaMashiach, the Messiah, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and they shall believe in their heart. This probably could be works too, couldn't it? That Yahweh has raised him from the dead. So we got to believe that he was dead. That Yahweh, the Father, couldn't have raised the Messiah from the dead unless he had been dead. He didn't go down and preach in to the demons in prison. Although there's a teaching on that from 1 Peter that you could go into Yahweh's death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2, and the newer scriptures in the New Testament. All were immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That's a type of baptism or immersion, or some call mikvah. All were immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all drank that same spiritual drink. Where they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was, capital R, rock was Messiah. So way back there, in the time that the children were in the promised land, excuse me, that they were heading toward it, right, that the Messiah was right there with them, it says, according to 1 Corinthians 10:2. So he's, you know, he's the speaker of not only the new, but the old scriptures as well. Yahweh of the so-called Old Testament, therefore, is Yahweh of the newer testament. Or he is the Yahweh of the New Testament, or the newer writings of Yahweh, proven by just 1 Corinthians 10:2 right there, but many other scriptures as well that say, you know, who spoke to Adam, for example? Who spoke to Moses? Who spoke to this and that prophet? It couldn't have been the Father, because John 5 says, no one ever heard his voice or seen his shape. Although there are formulas to calculate Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection, here is a real simple, a plain formula now. And it's listed on page 3 of the text, if you have that there. It's not really necessary. Aviv 14. Death and burial. Aviv 17. Resurrection of Messiah. That's all you need right there. It's pretty simple. Aviv 14 and Aviv 17. Just 3 days and 3 nights. You got it right there. And those two dates fall on various days of the week, but they're always the same dates of the month. So I don't know if you realize the significance there. Yahweh HaMashiach was impaled on Aviv 14, or it's also called Nisan, which is, I think, is one of those pagan words, I'm pretty sure. And Aviv 14 was buried in the tomb. He slept and was dead 3 days and three nights, according to Matthew 12:38 through 40. Matthew 12. He arose 3 days later on Aviv 17. So he died 14 and rose 17. So that's the third time I said that now. Yahweh rose from the grave, giving eternal life to those who receive him. The sequence involves the buying of spices in Yahweh's resurrection. Yahweh's supporters were buying spices. They were preparing and bringing of spices. Those buying and bringing are two different things. The spices to anoint Mashiach were bought and prepared on the sixth day of the week. They brought the spices to the tomb, so they carried them to the tomb to anoint HaMashiach, to anoint Yahweh the Son. And they were there the first day of the week. A clue about the timing of the resurrection is in John, or Yochanan 11, verse 9. Are there not 12 hours in the day? And then you can see some other scriptures here on page 3. Luke 2:34, Jonah 1, Daniel 9:26, Hosea 6:2, and Acts 9:9. Think of whether Paul or Shaul was 3 days without sight, or, you know, in the book of Acts 9:9, or like everything else by the Protestants, is this also allegorical, and was only a day and a half where Paul was without sight for 3 days? Maybe it was only a day and a half. No, it wasn't. Next is the change of the fourth commandment by the Roman Church, the RCC, and I used to be one, by the way, pretty good one. That change from Sabbath to Sunday, which is the venerable day of the sun. In prophecy, there isn't any scripture which foretells that his death, burial, or resurrection would change his separated rest day, the seventh day Sabbath. There isn't any scripture that, or prophecy, that says that. But actually, some tried to change Yahweh's set apart day back here in 1 Kings 12, verse 32. 12:32. Jeroboam tried to change the day, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month. So this is according to Leviticus 23, you'll find that the feasts are in the seventh month, but Jeroboam wanted to go ahead and just keep it the next month, like around Thanksgiving, in the 15th day of the eighth month, like unto the feast that is in Yehuda, and he offered upon the altar. Daniel 7, it says, this false person, this false Messiah shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. But Yahweh beckons us to his feasts. Back to these feasts here. Vayikra or Leviticus 23. If you've never celebrated unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Tabernacles, you're in for a real eye-opener. The Feasts of Yahweh are for our learning, enjoyment, and are to become equipped to reign in his kingdom. So let's move to the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Okay, that's the kind of the end of summer there. And this is really awesome in Zechariah 14, verse 16. You read that. And then we're going to come to that. No, I'm sorry. I should read the... Whoa, let's read it first. And it shall be all who are left from all the Gentiles who came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year. Oh, I'd like to go more than just once a year, but to bow themselves to the sovereign Yahweh of hosts, and to observe the festival of booths, the festival of Sukkot. And it shall be that any of the clans of the earth does not come up to Jerusalem to bow himself to the sovereign Yahweh of hosts, on him or on them there is to be no rain. Why would you not want to go up? Some go up to a Dagon temple, and then they try to look in the New Testament for excuses not to go. But it would be wonderful. If you ever been on a nice summer vacation, it's not commanded by Yahweh, the feasts are, but if you ever been to beautiful national park up there in Montana, Glacier Park, Cedar Breaks down in Utah, wonderful national monument, Cedar Breaks, it's not that large, but it's really colorful, more than Bryce Canyon. And that's kind of a picture, you know, of what Yahweh has for us, these different things that we can just relax and think about on our, if we have extra time after doing the feasts. We probably don't, but if you have a time to, say, go to Rainier National Park in Washington State, or Yellowstone, I'd love to go there 100 times. I've been there three, I think. And if you had the privilege of staying there for a while, you may have had a taste of the heavenly future, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's not a wild camping or middle of the summer vacation planned by mere mortals. Feast of Tabernacles is a commanded assembly, an invitation from Yahweh to attend his convocations, his feast days. But meetings are held in the mountains of Tennessee and Pennsylvania, Hawaii, Alaska, Japan, Australia, and the South Seas. And the funding of it is from a second tithe, and it's a help to those who aren't prepared with their finances there to go to the feasts. Oh, it's really neat. And we see in Zechariah 14, or Zechariah, as you might want to call it, that's the future there in the Old Testament. It's not old, it's future. So that should be New Testament there, if you want to go by that kind of a category or definition or dispensation. Zechariah 14:16 is the future. They're still keeping the Feast of Tabernacles after all dead and gone and resurrected. And then there will be punishment even for those who don't keep it. We're talking some real good fellowship there, some real good earth food, desserts, meats, and soft drinks. And you can go on a diet later. Yeah, don't overeat, that's a sin, but behave yourself and eat a balanced meal, kosher food, and all the spiritual food you can devour. Why should it be kosher? Well, because not kosher is an abomination. Yahweh doesn't change. Also in that Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20, and that set apart to Yahweh shall be engraved on the bells of the horses, and the pots shall be like bowls before the altar. Verse 21 of chapter 14, Zechariah. And every pot in Jerusalem and Yehuda shall be set apart to Yahweh of hosts, and all those who slaughter shall come and take them and cook in them. And, yeah, so there's sacrifices, I don't know. And there shall no longer be a merchant, or Canaanite, rather, a merchant in the house of Yahweh of hosts in that day. No teacher has ever given adequate explanation about those slaughter offerings that we mentioned there, but because no one understands everything yet. Where could you go in the New Testament, the so-called New Testament? We already said that Zechariah was New Testament, but you could go to Colossians chapter 2. That's up there past Corinthians and Romans and Corinthians. Colossians 2:16. The feasts are yet shadows of things to come. They are a type of heaven. They are practice rehearsals for being literally in Yahweh's presence. I'm excited. Prepare for the bridegroom, Hebrew people, Messianic people, Gentiles. You know, let's prepare for the bridegroom by keeping the feasts. It is, it's so wonderful. We can go to Galatians 4. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain. So, ladies and gentlemen, I won't be celebrating Christ Mass anymore. Hallelujah. We won't exchange presents or putting the defenseless, non-threatening, tender, neutral little baby into the crib each year. Messiah is sovereign of sovereigns. He's not dependent on his little big or little mommy, who's in the grave, by the way, nor on anyone else. Yes, he is an adult. He's not a little baby. And look in Matthew 3, verse 10, and also Jeremiah 51:33, because I have to wrap it up right now. The fan is in his hand. Matthew 3 or Jeremiah 51, his fan is in his hand, and he's coming to thoroughly purge his threshing floor. He is the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty Yahweh, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government there shall be no end. Yeshayahu 9:6. Hallelujah. Zechariah 14 summons us to his annual feast days. And we are looking forward to going up to praise the King of Kings, the Mighty One of Mighty Ones, and the Creator himself, Yahweh HaMashiach, which people commonly call JC. We're going to praise him in spirit and in truth. We can even do that now. We can do it in the feast days. We can do it in the future feast days, in the millennium and eternity. And there's more than just Zechariah 14. There's Isaiah 66, from one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another even. The new moons is something else. But shall all flesh come and praise before Yahweh. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us. Shalom.